Mayor Bullseye, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Just on a sort of last minute notice and... Okay. There's a concept in halacha that appears all over the place. And it's called Hutar Mechlala. And what we're talking about is an isur that applies in many different situations. And we're going to compare the various isurim that belong to, let's say, a group. And we're going to see that with regard to certain situations, there's a heter, that the isur no longer applies. So what I have for you as an introduction here to the concept of Hutar Mechlala is the first page in a long article in the Encyclopedia Talmudit. So what we're looking at is like the first column of, let's say it's about 5 pages long. And in the first section of this essay, he gives you an overview of some of the cases of Isur Shehutar Mechlala. And let's just mention a few of these cases. The first case that he has, which you'll see in the footnotes, is a Mishnah in Masechta Nazir, is a very, I think it's a very paradigmic case. You know, this is a really good example of Hutar Mechlala. We have in the case of Nazir, 3 different Isurim. We have the Isur of Shtias Yayin, the Isur of Tiglachas, and the Isur of Tumah. And the Gemara wants to know, can we classify these Isurim under one of 2 classifications? One is called an Isur Chamur, and the other is an Isur Kal. And the sugya has various nafkaminas, which is not relevant to us now. But what the Gemara assumes is that whether or not you classify an Isur as an Isur Chamur or an Isur Kal depends upon whether there's a heter for that Isur. If a situation arises and you can remove one of the various Isurim, even if you don't have another parallel kind of situation with regard to the other Isurim, okay, this is all very abstract, we'll flesh it out. Let's say, for example, in the case of the Isur Tumah L'Nazir, you have a heter in what situation? Meis Mitzvah. Even though Meis Mitzvah is totally irrelevant to Shtias Yayin, you'd have to do somersaults in your head to come up with a scenario in which by drinking wine I would be able to bury the Meis Mitzvah. It's irrelevant. As long as we can find, as we say, tachlis, meaning as long as we could find some situation in which the Isur is removed, that itself classifies the Isur as an Isur Kal. So that if we would compare, for example, Shtias Yayin to Tumas Nazir, the Isur Shtias Yayin for a Nazir, relative to Tumah, is an Isur Chamur. The Isur Tumah, relative to the Isur Shtias Yayin, is Kal. And why is that so? Because you have a heter for the Isur of Tumas Nazir in the case of Meis Mitzvah. We'll give another few examples so we get the sort of like the feel of it. He says, for example, with regard to the Isur of Avodah B'Kodshim in the case of, for example, a Zar who's not allowed to do the Avodah, in the case of Valmum, in the case of an Onen is someone who lost one of his close relatives, all these individuals are enjoined from doing the Avodah. But even though ostensibly we would say it's one uniform level of Isur, the Chumras HaIsur is the same, whether it's a Kohen who's a Balmum, whether it's a non-Kohen who's a Zar, whether it's someone who's Tameh, etc., etc. Nevertheless, we have the ability to classify and to, in a sense, single out one of those various Isurim and call it an Isur Kal. And why is that an Isur Kal? Because Hutar Mechlala. And what case is going to be as far as the Isuri Avodas Kodshim, Avodas HaKorbanos, and Isur Kal? The case of an Onen. That was last week's parasha that we read 2 days ago. And that is that the Kohen Gadol himself, in this case Aaron, because he had lost his 2 sons, Nadav Aviv, nevertheless, he was allowed to do the Avodas HaKorban. And therefore, in the case of the Chatos Rosh Chodesh, he was allowed to be makriv the carbon by ninus, And then there was a machlokas between Moshe and Aaron about whether you can eat the basar or not, whether it's a chatos anisrefes or it's a chatos anacheles. That has to do with koche doros and koche shah, which is not for us now. But suffice it to say, at least there's one scenario in which an onen, despite the fact that as a general rule, he's enjoined from doing the avoda, nevertheless, in the case of a kohen gadol, he's allowed to do the avoda by ninus. That reflects on the nature of the exclusion of an onen for avodas hakodshim and converts it into what we call an iser kal. That's called huta mechlo. Another example that he gives here, which is also this is sugin zvachim. We're talking about psule karbon, right? We have many psule karbon. For example, a mum in an animal passes the karbon, or if the animal becomes tome. Or if the animal goes chutz limechitzasa, which is called yotze. And in all these cases, it's also to be makriv the karbon. And yet, with regard to one of these various categories, we find a heter. And the iser is alleviated. And that's the case of tumah, which is called tumah hutra b'tzibur, for the sake of the tzibur. That's entirely, the entire tzibur is tamei, or rova tzibur is tamei, whatever the case may be. And now the carbon itself becomes tamei. We're allowed to violate the iser akrovas tamei al gabim mizbeach because of this matir. Once the matir exists, it gives me the ability to classify the iser as what kind of an iser? An iser ka.
But are you saying that the rule of tumah in kachim is a klal as an iser kal? Because we've got this matter on tumah hitam tzuba, that means it's only with an iser kal that we can actually use.
What we're saying is that since tumah has the possibility somewhere down the line of being pushed aside for the sake of tumah hutra b'tzibur, therefore the tumah category of iser mizbeach is a little bit less severe than, for example, yotze or mum. You can't be machshir about mum to mizbeach. I mean, there is a sugya about a kohen balmum, that's a sugya in Masechta Makis. You know, let's say the kohen did the avoda and he was a balmum, but he didn't know about it then, Paul Yadav Yirtza, but that's something different. But if the carbon itself is mum, then there's no heter whatsoever to bring a mum. No matter if the entire tzibur would require that carbon, it wouldn't allow me to alleviate the iser mum. Okay.
Why would he be ruling aspect.
Correct, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Aaron. That's a good point. What his point is that in Hilchas Taroves, we have something called a Dovash Eishel Matirin. And a Dovash Eishel Matirin, paradoxically, is more chomer than a Dovash Eishel Matirin. But that's for a different reason. Again, I don't want to oversimplify a very complicated sugya, but the Prima Gadim is of the opinion that the reason why a Dovash Eishel Matirin is not batal is because Anshe Tochlenu Beisa, Tochlenu Beheter. It's really just a technicality. It's a heter that brings Lidei Chumrah. The Chumrah is just a reflection of the fact that it's heter. Why rely on Dinei Bittel when you can eat it? Again, very complicated what Bittel is and whether Iser Nefach Liel's heter, you know, Machlok Shin the Rosh and the Rajma. But that's not for us now. But again, I think we're getting the feel of the Sugya here. The feel of the Sugya, and again, this is like one of these Shas Sugyas that have repercussions all over the place, is that once the Iser has a potential heter to it, you know, there's like a puncture in the balloon, or a possibility that the balloon might get punctured at some point, that weakens the Iser itself.
Is that true? There's a fault of many Rabbanis that if it was already Ola
al Mizbeah,
even though
came into Ola Yerid,
right. Uh-huh. So that would make almost every korban.
Right. But there you're not going to get a huta michlolo because that's going to be an overriding heter. Do you follow me? What we need is a matir that's very specific, that pinpoints a case and allows me by comparison to classify the nature of that case or that isur or that kedusha or that tumah, whatever it might be, as kal. It gives me a relativity theory for comparison purposes that allows me to classify it as kal because of the heter that applies only in that case. So now I have a standard of comparison.
Here it happens to be Einish, that there might be the cloud, somebody saying, is this a cow? Even though it's got an Einish of chorus.
Correct. No, you're right. There may be other, you know, Daniel's pointing out that we're only focusing on one part of the picture. There may be other different dimensions, you know, like Onshim and so forth and so on. But I thought you could ask another question, which is fascinating. That has to do with Chiv Mamin. What happens, you know, the various Isurei Mamin that apply, what happens if the Onesh is alleviated in a certain case of an Isur Mamon? Does that itself mean that the Isur Mamon is Kal? For example, in the Isur Gzela, which means the classical case of not, you know, you're enjoined from stealing someone's Mamon, there's no heter under the sun to steal. Okay? I mean, I'm putting aside a sugi bavakam about Pikuach Nefesh, but let's leave it. But yet, the Gemara says that with regard to the Iser Chovel B'Chavero, which is a Chiyuv Mamon, that is engendered by the violation of the Iser Pen Yosef, because you're not allowed to hit somebody, that case has a heter to it. And what's the heter to it? That Bez Din, for the sake of the mitzvah of meeting out punishment, is allowed to hit the criminal. And believe it or not, the Gemara applies the logic. This is a sugi ksumis, applies the logic of Hutar Mechlolo to the Iser Chovel B'Chavero, because Hutar Eitzel Beis Din. There's no other Iser in Mama that Beis Din is allowed to implement or violate, if you will, except for the Iser Chavon. Now you and I would have said, well, that's not Hutar Mechlolo. Adarabba, the Torah commanded Beis Din and a mitzvah incumbent upon the Beis Din to mete out justice, mete out punishment, in this case, to the Chovel has to pay five categories. And yet, for some reason, the Gemara thinks that since Beis Din, under one circumstances, is permitted or even commanded to fulfill the mitzvah of Chavol B'Chavero, to hit the guy 39 times, that itself indicates that the nature of the Iser Chavolah is Kal vis-a-vis, for example, Ma'anes, which is also a Chiyuv Mamon that results from a violation of an Iser, or Mefata that pays a Knas. Very strange.
So I'm not saying effectively.
Well, Adarava, maybe Asei Dochalosa says Hutra, which means that it's not that there's an Iser Chavola and Beis Din is violating the Iser, but on the contrary, there is no Iser at all. Adarava, poof, I can, as we'd say in Yiddish. It's a mitzvah for Beis Din to mete out the punishment. The Chavola here is incumbent upon Beis Din. Does that mean that the Iser Chavola falls short and it's Kal just because Beis Din is Mechuyev, call it Asei Dochalosa, just call it the mitzvah of Tzedek Tirdov, it's incumbent upon Beis Din to mete out the punishment? Again, I don't want to get sidetracked because this is all just an introduction to today's shiur.
You know, using that same logic, you could say the same thing that you said before, that stealing is actually mutter, because based in levying a plus on somebody, and that they're taking money from somebody that for nothing.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I would say that their bez is just implementing the chiyuv mamon that exists. Yeah, you may talk about knossos, maybe. You want to know about knossos.
That's what I said, knossos.
Oh, okay.
Knossos.
So you know, Beis Din itself is creating the knas.
They created the knas, and it's for nothing. They got nothing
right
for it. It's not.
But gzela required. Okay, you know, we're going to get sidetracked here.
Weird.
But do we have the flow, the feeling for Hutar Mechlol? Okay. That this is all together hakdom. You know, this is all. I just wanted to give you a flavor of Hutar Mechlol. I mean, we didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg, as I said before. Okay. What I'd like to study with you now is a Mishnah in Masechta Menachos. And this is really our topic for today. I had a Mishnah Menachos here, but of course, I don't remember what I did with it. Oh, here it is. Okay. The Mishnah is here on Daf Samach Chesam in Beis. I think you'll have it here in the middle of page 1. And the Mishnah, I'll just give you a little background, is addressing what's called the Iser Chadash. Chadash, which literally means the new crop. Now, the Iser Chadash has two different parts to it. And in fact, I'm not sure if it's two parts of one whole or two separate entities, just happens to have a common term or certain commonalities. But be that as it may, the Iser Chadash means, let's take the simple expression of the Isur Chadosh, and that is Chadosh Lehejot. Chadosh Lehejot means that L'achilas Hejot, for our Achila, we are enjoined from eating from the new crop until when? Till the Omer, the 16th of the month of Nisan. And that's called B'medina. B'medina means outside the walls of the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. Then there's another Isur Chadosh, which is the Mizbeach, which means that I'm not allowed to bring a Karban Mincha from the new crop until after what? Shtei Alechem on Yom HaShavuos. Oh. So the Mishnah points out, it's a very beautiful way of formulating this halacha, you know, for pedagogic purposes. Ha'omer ha'yamater b'medino shtei alechem b'migdash. Very beautiful language. Very, you know, review that us, he's a beautiful literary style here, very terse and to the point. In other words, there's an Isur Chadosh lehejot, which is b'medino, and there's an Isur Chadosh lemizbeach, and the Omer is matir achilas hejot in the same way that shtei alechem is matir achilas mizbeach, and vice versa. Either way, you could start and end up at the same place. Oh. But now we get to the crux of the issue. With regard to the Isur Chadosh lemizbeach, because the Torah says with regard to Shtei Alechem, it's got to be the Mincha Chadosh. So it's got to be the first Mincha from the new crop. And the crop becomes old, so to speak, bless you, after Shtei Alechem. What happens if he brought Min HaMincha? Jeremy, come in. Do you have a chair? Just help, you know, help yourself. Oh, your dad is here. Whoa, this is mind-boggling. I'm back in Clanton Park here, three generations. This is like a... See, if they like the Shia, then they'll stay in Eretz Yisrael. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So the Mishnah now addresses the following question. What happens if I brought a Karba Mincha Minachadosh before the Shtei Alechem? Meaning, I violated the Isur Chadosh Lemizbeach and I brought a Karba Mincha Minachadosh prematurely. And the issue is, do I have to replace the Mincha with a second Karba? Now you and I might say, well, who cares, let's be machmir, it's always good to be on the safe side. We'll bring another Karba Mincha to replace the first one. No, it doesn't work like that. If you're not chayav in the karban, then it's what's called it's called kachei chutz. It's really basically chulin bazara. You know, you're bringing something that's chulin. The only thing that allows you to bring a karban on the mizbeach is the chiv to bring the karban. And now the question is: was I yotze the karban b'di'evit, even though I violated the isur chadosh, or is the isur chadosh only lechatchila? Yeah, he shouldn't have done it. He's a bad boy. We'll give him patch. But b'di'evit, the karban is kosher. And that seems to be a fundamental question, what we call chad v'cholak, one way or the other. Either you say that the Isur Chadosh passels the karbon, or it doesn't passel the karbon. It's only l'chadchil, it's not b'di'evit. No, it's even b'di'evit. But the Mishnah comes up with much more complex formulation. It all depends. When did you bring this Chadosh on the Mizbeach? Did you bring it before the Omer, before the 16th of Nisan? Or did you bring it after the Omer, before the Shtei Alechem, on the 6th of Sivan? When did you bring the Karban? And the Mishnah says the following. If you brought the Karban before the Omer, and you violated the Isur Chadosh by bringing this Mincha Soto, whatever the Mincha is, Al Gabi Mizbeach, Minach Chadosh, the Mincha is a Mincha Psula, it's disqualified, you have to bring a second Karba, replace the first one. If on the other hand you brought the Karba Mincha after the Omer, but before the Shtei Alechem, despite the fact that the Isur Chadosh is still in effect, the Karba is kosher v'di'eved, and you don't have to replace it. Let's look at the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah says, Ein meviyim menachos u'bikurim minchas behema kodem la'omer hevi posel kodem l'shtei alechem lo yavi v'im hevi kasher. And the question is obvious. Hasheilat sogevet, as they say here in Hebrew. It just yells at you. You know, it's all I see here is red. Yosef Rabbi Tarfon v'kakoshele ma ben kodem li'omer l'kodem shtei alechem. Mivanavshach, says Rabbi Tarfon. Either the Isur Chadash, if it's violated, is ma'akev the carbon, or it's not ma'akev the carbon. But what difference does it make before the Omer or after the Omer? Meaning, the Omer has an impact on which Isur Chadash Rabosai. The Isur Hedjot. Now we're dealing with the Isur Chadash Lemizbeach. We're not dealing with the Isur Chadash Lehedjot. Why should the Isur Chadash Lehejot for Achilas Adam have any impact on the status of the carbon mincha vis-a-vis the violation of the Isur Chadash Lemizbeach? The Isur Chadash Lemizbeach is chal before the Omer, after the Omer. Nothing changes. What changes is Shtei Alechem. That's the critical carbon that's Matir Chadash and converts all Chadash into Yashan. But Omer has no impact on Chadash Lemizbeach. Omer is itself a carbon mincha, correct?
Isn't that a problem right there?
Well, not really, because that's the mitzvah itself. You know.
But just like before, what they said by Makos, the same thing. Here is all of a sudden, you have a heter because of the mitzvah.
All right, I hear what you're saying, Alan, but that's not the sugya. You know, that's a different question.
Isn't there enough community between wheat and barley in this?
Could be. But the mincha, right? The mincha has got to be chit, right?
The wheat is not ready yet.
Right. All right, Rabbi. Let's just see a gentleman by the name of Nehemia Yehuda Bar Nehemia. Amar lefan of Yehuda Bar Nehemia. Lo im amarta kodem liomer, shekein lo hutar mechlolo etzel hejot. Tomar kodem l'shtei alechem, shehutar mechlolo etzel hejot. So first of all, what principle does Yehuda Bar Nachmeni quote over here? Bar Nechemia, excuse me. What is he operating with? Hutar mechlolo. Okay, so that's, I know the encyclopedia has 6 pages on Hutar mechlolo. Somehow this sugya got left out. I don't know why. But he says explicitly Hutar mechlolo. Now, I want to analyze with you Yehuda Bar Nechemia's logic. What he saw in the principle of Hutar mechlolo, does it or does it not logically apply here in the case of Chadash Lemizbeach? Now, did Rabbi Tarfon accept the logic of Yehuda Bar Nechemia? It's not clear. It says Shasak Rabbi Tarfon. So Shasak Rabbi Tarfon might mean Shtika Koda Dami, or Shasak Rabbi Tarfon means it didn't impress him at all. It made no impact on him. In any event, Yehuda Bar Nechemia thought that he had outsmarted Rabbi Tarfon. So this half of the sugya is not for us. This is what I call the agadic half of the sugya. We'll just read it quickly. Tzavu panav shel Yehuda Bar Nechemia. Yehuda Bar Nechemia, Rashi says, Samach.
Blushed.
He blushed. Is that what the word is? Blushed? Okay. I guess that's the British use the word blush differently than the Americans. But what blushed means here in this context, I'm not familiar with blushed in England, but blushed here means that he was very happy. He was gloating.
In English, he's embarrassed.
Oh, so that's what it means in American too. So it's not that he was embarrassed. On the contrary, he was very proud of himself. So he went like this.
He used the right word, gloated.
He gloated. He was boasting. You know, like, little old me, I outsmarted the Rebbe. And the Gemara is not too happy about this. Again, this may have to do with the days of Sphira, so we'll mention it. The Gemara says that Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Yehuda, Tzavu panecha shishavtes hazakein. You know, you're gloating about the fact that you outsmarted the zakein. Rabbi Tarfon was the Gadol Hador. Tmit timihani im tarich yamin. I don't think you're going to live too long.
That's
yeah, maybe, I don't know. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi, Osa Perk Prasa Pesach Hoya, it was a little bit after Chag HaPesach, maybe it was on the second day after Chag HaPesach, or the third day after Chag HaPesach, depending upon whether you're in Eretz Chutzos. But before Pesach, Kshalisi Latzeres, when I came up on Aliyah LeRegel for Shmini Atzeres, for Chag HaTzeres, for Shmuas, Shalti Achrav Yehuda Bar Nechemia Heichanu, V'omru Li Niftar Maholachla. Okay. That's the agadic part of the sugya. The Gemara says in Yevamos that why did the Talmidim from Yekiva die? Because Shlo Nogu come and said, maybe it's a reflection of that concept. So let's analyze Yehuda Bar Nechemya and his application of the principle of Hutar Michlov. Offhand, Yehuda Bar Nechemya makes no sense whatsoever. Forget about Hutar Michlov Ahi and Hutar Michlov Ahi. It doesn't make any sense. There are two Isurim here. One Isur is Chodesh Lehejot. One Isur is Chodesh Lemizbeach. Each one has a Matir. You know, we're not trying to classify one Isur vis-a-vis the other one and say, well, you know, the Isur of Chodesh Lehejot is an Isur Kal, and the Isur of Chodesh Lemizbeach is an Isur Chamur. Because the Isur... Well, what are you going to tell me? That the Isur Chodesh Lehejot is an Isur Kal because it has a Matir? Well, the Isur Chodesh Lemizbeach also has a Matir. So you're going to tell me what this Matir comes first and this Matir comes second? I don't see that would justify. Meaning, in the classical application of Hutta Mechlolo, you know, that we spoke about the fact that Tumul and Nazir is Hutra Eitzel Mes Mitzvah, or Tumah in Karbonos is Hutra Eitzel... etc., etc. I mean, there we have a right to say that since there's a matir, that reflects on the nature of the Isur, and it lowers its status from an Isur Chavar to an Isur Kal. But here, you're talking about two different Isurim, and even if I would convince you that the Isur Chodesh Lehejot is an Isur Kal, by virtue of the fact that it has a Matir, the same thing could apply to the Isur Chodesh Mizbeah. It also has a Matir. So why does one Isur become Kal and one Isur become Chavar? And not only that, we have a much more fundamental objection to Yehuda Bar Nechemya. The logic of Yehuda Bar Nechemya is completely off base here, because we want to know what relevance does the Omer have to the carbon that's being brought min HaChadosh al Gabi Mizbeach. Omer is only relevant to Achilas Hejot. So the one who attacks this, beautiful, is the Chidush HaRashba, which you'll see on your page 2. Okay, he asks about 7 questions. And then he says the following. Vinirali Tsuras HaPirish Kach, if you're counting down from the top, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down from the top of the paragraph. Vinirali Tsuras HaPirish Kach. The Rabbi Tarfon Vadai Hoyodea Zesha Heshiv Rabbi Yehuda El Shaloya Das Rabbi Tarfon She Isur Chodosh Ligavoa Yia Michlal Umikoach Isur Lehejot Midakom Rachmana Mincha Chadosha She Tech Chadosha Lchola Menochos In Kei Mashmahu The Dover Shenesa Bifnei Atzmahu Shenesa Chodosh Ligavoa Ad Akrovas Shtei Alechem Vilo Michlal Isur Chodosh Lehejotu Ulakach, Nomar Diladas Rabbi Tarfon, Nesar Achodesh Legovoa, Gam Midvarim, okay, this is part of the sugi that we didn't cover, Gam Midvarim Sheinam Nesarim Lehejo Kodom Laomer Dainu Bimenocho, Biminachas Nesokim, Viyayin Dechodesh Legovoa, Dekarm Gavoa Mashma. Notes Yayin is not included in the Isar Omer, because Omer only applies to the 5 species of grains, but with regard to Minchas Nesokim, which is brought from Yayin, there's an Isar Chodesh Lemizbeach, even on something that's not included in the Isar of Chodesh Lehejot. Lekach, oh, this is the punchline. Hoya Rabbi Tarfon Omer, to hoil the Isur, de Isur Gavoa, Isur Bifnei Atzmohu, you know, I'd ask you to underline those words, Isur Bifnei Atzmohu, Li Acher Omer, Kmo Lifnei Omer. It's exactly our question. What difference does it make before the Omer or after the Omer? This one Isur, which is an independent Isur, Bifnei Atzmo, which is called the Isur Chodesh Ligavoa, Lemizbeach, and it's not impacted ki huzeh, it's not even relevant to the Omer or not the Omer. So what difference does it make if you brought the Omer or you didn't bring the Omer? Shalomi koach iser hejot, The Isur Chodesh L'Mizbeach is not an offspring, it's not a tributary or a branch of the Isur Hedjot. That Isur Chodesh is a separate Isur. This is an Isur Chodesh that's a separate Isur. Is Ein L'Chalik, therefore there's no reason to justify a distinction b'di'eved, b'ne me'viu kodem li'omer, b'ne me'viu li'acher, omer kodem shtei alechem. It doesn't make any difference. Okay. Now, if you skip a few lines, Rabbi Yehuda bar Nechemia heishivo deluchal nuchal lomar. That's a little bit of a weak language. I would have said yesh lomar, nuchal lomar. This we could say with a kvetch, but I don't think Yehuda bar Nechemia meant it as a kvetch. He really understood it this way. Ein das hakosuv. It's not the way you understood the pasuk. Sheh heichadosh legavoa iser b'fnei atzmo shalom ikoch iser hedjot. That the iser chadosh legavoa is a separate, independent iser that's irrelevant to the iser of chadosh lehedjot. Ella, but rather, what's the truth? And here again, I would underline it. Ella mikoch iser chadosh shenesar lehedjot kodem laomer nesar legavoa gam liachar haomer. In other words, there's one Isur Chadash, and the Isur Chadash begins in a broad spectrum, all inclusive. And then what happens is at some point in time, that very same Isur Chadash gets whittled down. It gets circumscribed or limited. What's that moment in which the Isur, although it still exists, gets limited, it gets truncated? When the Omer is brought. Correct. El mikach iser chadash nesar lehejot. Kodem laomer nesar legavoa gam liachar omer. It's one iser. This the oser is chadash. The crops are the new crops. And they are also bein lehejot, bein legavoa. And now, what happens is, Kodem omer nesar lehejot ulegavoa beiser echad. Again, I would underline those words. Shenesar legavoa mikoch iser shenesar lehejot. The achar haomer sheavar iser hejot. What does avar mean? Right, hutar was removed. Hutar iser hejot. Him shech hakosuv adayin iser. I would add the word chadash legavoa shehayu bo kodem liomar. The Omer, in other words, the same Iser Gavoa that predates the Omer continues to maintain itself after the Omer, just that now that Iser is completely whittled down because the Omer is now Matir, that Iser Chodesh, at least as far as Iser Achilles Hedjot is concerned. Hilkach, Kamar Rabbi Yehuda, Yesh Lachalik Ben Nikrav Kodem Liomer LeNikrav LeAcher Omer, the Kodem Omer Shlo Hutar Klal, Klolo Shel Iser Klal is Gamle Hedjot is therefore even the Kriva with the Evan Postle. Aval LeAcher Omer Shlo Hutar Iser Mechlolo, Aval Bishadai Nimshach Haiser LeGavoa Mikomakom Nigra Kocho Shel Iser. That's an interesting phrase. Nigra Kocho Shel Iser MeAcher Shel Lokach. Heter b'ktsas legavi shelo yechomer isa kvo b'tchila, meaning now it's mutter lehejot. Hilka gam legavon hevi kosher. So again, let's ask the following question. Is the Iser Chodesh L'Mizbeach still intact? At least at a basic level. After the Omer. Yes, that's absolutely so. However, if you brought the Karba min HaChodesh before the Omer, I'm sorry. If you brought the carbon in a chadash before the shtei alechem, but after the omer, is the carbon kosher? Yes. Question is why? Why should the carbon be kosher after the omer, before the shtei alechem, if there's still an iser chadash? The answer is gara nigra kochel shel iser. The iser has been weakened. You can weaken an iser. You can water it down. What power, what agency now, agent, what is down the Iser Chadash? The Omer. No, but the Omer is only Matir, Achilles Hedjot. What bearing, what relevance does that have on the Iser Chadash Mizbeach? The answer is, it's all what? It's all one Iser. And the Oser is Chadash. That Oser Chadash goes through two stages. In stage number one, the Oser of Chadash is all inclusive and it applies both to Achilles Adam and to Achilles Mizbeach. Now we get into stage two. After the Omer is brought, that Iser Chadash is circumscribed. It's whittled down. It's truncated. Because the heter of the Omer alleviates the Iser Achilles Chadash Lehejot, what we're left with is, let's call it half the Isur Chadash, only the Isur Chadash live. Mizbeach? Ah, the nafkamina is going to be where that Isur, once violated, would undermine the sanctity of the Karvan b'di'eved? And the answer is, it will not. Why? Because the Isur is not the full-fledged, full-forced, active Isur. There was already a heter that was chal on that Isur. And Rabosa, my question to you now is, would we be able to say that Yehuda Bar Nechemya, if we grant his premise, again, for the time being, we're going to grant his premise, that the Isur Chadash Limizbeach is Mikoach, the Isur Chadash Lehejot, would Yehuda Bar Nechemya be justified in applying what we've seen, the principle of Huta Mechlolo, to this case? Or is it different?
Did we see any case in the introduction? It's kind of like an Issachar now. It's going off from Issachar to Issachar. Did we see any cases of that's a matter for B'di'evet in the introduction?
That's a good point, O'Neill. Let me try to elaborate on what I think you're saying. There is a certain overlap between Yehuda Bar Nechemya's Huta Mechlolo and the classical Huta Mechlolo, but it's not identical. There's a great chiddush here in Yehuda Bar Nechemya. The classical Huta Mechlolo allows me to take two Isurim, which ostensibly, you know, at first logic, you know, prima facie, they should have the exact same application. And yet the Huta Mechlolo that applies to one Isur, to X and not to Y, allows me to classify X, downgraded, to an Isur Kal. That's not what we're doing over here. Yehuda Bar Nechemya's logic is not to take two Isurim and apply the comparative rule of Huta Mechlolo and classify one of those two Isurim as an Isur Kal vis-a-vis the other Isur. That's not what we're doing over here. But there is a certain overlap here, or shall we say there's a logical application of Huta Mechlolo in this case within Yehuda Bar Nechemya. And that is that when you see that an Isur has a matir to it, that itself indicates that there's an Isur Kal. Again, let me just point one thing out. We have to be very careful here about Yehuda Bar Nechemya. He's going very far. You see, when we spoke about Huta Mechlolo as establishing the Isur and its character as an Isur Kal, what we meant was that we're looking at the Isur, the Heter hasn't even been Chal yet. We're talking in abstract terms. Does it lend itself to a Heter? An Isur that lends itself to a Heter is to be classified, downgraded to an Isur Kal. Yehuda Bar Nechemya has a great chiddush over here. He's saying something else. He's saying that if you have an Isur, and now there's a heter within the Isur, meaning he's talking about a chronological sequence in which we get from time T1 to time T2, and the difference is that in time T1 there was no heter whatsoever, and in time T2 there is a heter, then even though that heter, at time T2 is a limited heter, it has an impact even on the shirayim, you know, the what's left over from the Isur itself. So again, let me just, I just want to get this point down clear for myself. In the case of Huta Mechlolo, what I call classic, Huta Mechlolo means that we're talking about the nature of the Isur itself, in abstract terms. We're defining the Isur under all circumstances. That Isur itself, because it lends itself to a heter, the fact that Tumas Nazir could be pushed aside in a situation, a scenario of Mes Mitzvah, that reflects on the nature of the Isur Tumas Nazir. And it classifies as an Isur Kal. That's not what he's doing over here. There's no reason to classify the Isur Chadash as an Isur Kal. That's not his point. Yehuda Bar Nechemya's point is that if an Isur has a double application, it applies in both cases X and Y, if I remove at some point in time X and you're left with Y, the Isur as it applies to Y, insofar as that Isur has now been truncated, as we called it, it now becomes an Isur Kal. But the logic of Yehuda Bar Nechemya and the fact that he utilizes the terminology Huta Mechlolo is very closely related to the classical Huta Mechlolo. It's not identical with the classic huta mechlola, which means that the Isur itself is an Isur kal by definition in and of itself. But what he's saying is that sequentially, at one point in time, the Isur, which was an Isur chamur, is now downgraded. It's transformed into an Isur kal because of the chalos matir. And even though that matir is only applies to X and not to Y, in this case, the matir, the omer, will only alleviate the Isur achilus chadash lehejot, and not the Isur achilus chadash mizbeach. Nevertheless, the Isur chadash mizbeach, insofar as it's one part of a greater whole, it itself now is a downgraded Isur, becomes an Isur kal. Why? Because of the chalushem heter. The chalushem heter that now converts the Isur from an all-extensive, all-inclusive Isur to a limited Isur, that makes the Isur into an Isur kal. And then Afkavit is where the violation of the Isur undermines the karban and disqualifies it or not. If you have an Isur chamur, you violated Isur chadash in its full blasted, full force, activated sense before the omer is brought. When the Isur chadash is all inclusive, that passes the karban b'di'evit. Bring another karban to replace the first. But if you violate that Isur chadash after the omer is brought, and now that Isur has been somewhat, partially, shall we say, alleviated as far as Achilus Hejot is concerned, the Isur itself now becomes an Isur kal, and it's not enough of a violation of a chomer dikar Isur to undermine the kashrus, the status of the karban. So far, so good. Now we get to Rabbi Tarf. Rabbi Tarfa was a pretty bright fellow. Why didn't he understand this? So I want to suggest two approaches. One is the easy way out. And that's a cinch. And that is to say that Rabbi Tarfa rejected the very premise of Nehemiah. Namely what? That's right, these are not two chalakim of one whole. These are two separate Isurim. That's the easy way to go. Rabbi Tarfon was never convinced that when the Torah prohibited Chadash L'Mizbeach under the halach of Mincha Chadasha, the Torah was extending that from the Isur Chadash Lehejot as part and parcel of one indivisible unit of an Isur. No! Zelechud v'zelechud. And I have no doubt if you take this approach, which I call the simple approach, then you would come to the conclusion that if Rabbi Tarfon was the Rambam Mone on Mitzvahs, he would be Mone one Isur Chadash Lehejot in Taryag, and he would count the Isur Chadash Mizbeach as a separate Isur in Taryag. Because they're two bezundere Isurim, and never the twain shall meet, and therefore the Isur Chadash Lehejot is totally irrelevant to the Isur Chadash Lemizbeach. However, Abosai, even though I admit that the Chidushi Arashba would take that approach, I have no doubt. It's implicit in every line in his presentation. But I would like to suggest that perhaps Rabbi Tarfon, even if he conceded the fundamental point that the Isur Chadash is one and the same, namely, it incorporates both Chadash Lehejot, as far as Achilas Adam is concerned, and Chadash L'Mizbeach, as far as Achilas Chadash L'Mizbeach is concerned. Nevertheless, there's another approach, another alternative possibility, as to why Rabbi Tarfon would not accept the logic of Yehuda Bar Nachman. And I want to suggest that he, Rabbi Tarfon, had a different understanding of Huta Mechlol. And Huta Mechlol does not apply. I have in front of me, here on the table, Chadash. Chadash is a Chefta Disura. It's a Chefta Disura in a twofold sense. Yehuda Bar Nechemya said it, the Rashba said it, and I think even Rabbi Tarfon would say it. It's a chefta d'isur fachilas Adam, and it's a chefta d'isur lachilas Mizbeach. Comes along the Omer, and the Omer says, as far as achilas Hejer is concerned, the Isur is alleviated. How do we understand that? Does that have an impact on the very chefta d'isur? Or does it only have an impact on the Achilas Adam? Who are we addressing here as a result of the Omer? And I think this is the way Reb Chaim maybe would take it. Oh, is it a heter for the Gavra, but the Isur itself remains the same? Or is it a heter in the cheftz itself? The shame, the chalas shame, cheftz of the isur of chadash has now been truncated, as we said before. Nigra ha isur ba cheftz. Let me explain to you what I mean. Would you say that melacha on Shabbos is huter mechlolo etzel pikuach nefesh? Ridiculous. Why? Nothing changes in the Isur Malacha. The Isur Malacha remains the same. I'll give you a beispiel. Let me ask you a question. The sun gives off light and heat. I stand in the shade. Does that mean that because I stood in the shade, or for all intents and purposes, if every human being on the face of the planet would stand in the shade, that the sun itself gives less heat and less light? You know, it reminds me of the old philosophical question, you know, if a tree fell in a forest, what was the noise? You know, there's no one there to hear the noise. Okay, it's a very interesting chakira. But in science, we would say there's definitely a noise there. You know, if you're not there to hear it, that's the problem, it's in the gavra, not in the chevta. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm suggesting is that the machlokas here between Rabbi Tarfon and Yehuda Bar Nechemya is how to understand Huta Mechlolo when the Huta Mechlolo comes in sequence. Meaning, when there's an Iser that's all-inclusive, and then all of a sudden, something jolts that Iser, and all of a sudden there's a Heter. Says Yehuda Bar Nechemya, that's exactly what the Svara of Huta Mechlolo is all about. Once you tell me that something comes along and alleviates and cuts down the nature of the Iser and its scope, its application, that itself indicates that the Iser has changed. Then, says Rabbi Tarfon, the Iser doesn't change. The Torah allowed the Hedjot to partake of this Chadash after the Omer. But the Chadash remains the same, Chefta, the Surah, Haraya. I'm not allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach. And therefore, Rabbi Tarfon did not understand, in terms of the Chefta of this Karban, why should anything change with the Omer? If the Iser Chadash, as a Chefta, the Surah, is strong enough, is powerful enough to undermine and disqualify the Karban b'dieved, then what difference would it make if you brought the Omer? Okay, you allowed the Hedjo to eat from this Chadash. But as far as the Iser Chadash is concerned, it remains the same Iser Chadash. The machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Yehuda Bar Nechemya is not about the nature of the Iser Chadash. They both agree to this breakthrough that there's one indivisible Iser Chadash that engenders a Cheftza Yisura Hein Legabe Adam Hein Legabe Mizbeach. The machlokas is what happens when the Omer is brought. Is the Omer addressing the Gavra to be matir his achila, or is the Omer addressing the Cheftza itself and telling me that the inherent Iser in the Cheftza has now been altered, has been transformed and been changed? Go ahead.
Very
well. Thanks. I appreciate the compliment. I'll tell you why. Because I put a lot of work into this.
Right.
This, you know, you may see that this, you know, like comes out of my sleeve, but so I'm a human being, and human beings need compliments from time to time. So go ahead. Having said that, now you're going to slug me up. Right?
My only question is, where the Kiva had learned.
Rabbi Kiva?
Rabbi Kiva could also learn.
Right.
Why didn't he, instead, what sounds like the Mashmos from the Gemara?
Oh, hey, Shavtas HaZokin, you mean the language?
Yeah, that you're so taking pride that you slugged up the Zokin. Yeah. Why didn't he slug up Yehuda by saying...
So Alan, that question touches on a different question, and that is how to interpret the shtick of Rabbi Tarfon. Meaning the following. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nechemya had to make sense out of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was authored by a different Rabbi Yehuda, an earlier Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Where Rabbi Tarfon fits into this picture, I don't know. And it's very odd to me that Rabbi Tarfon does not appear in the Mishnah itself. I mean, he appears in the Braisa, not in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi somehow excluded Rabbi Tarfon. Now, if the halach of shtika koda applies here, that you're right, hey, shaftas azoki, the way you're reading it, then enochinami, I understand why Rabbi Tarfon doesn't appear in the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon appears in a dialogue in the Braisa, and at the end of the dialogue, you know, he threw in the towel and he conceded defeat. If, on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi left out Rabbi Tarfon for any number of reasons, again, I'm not a historian, and Rabbi Tarfon does disagree with the Mishnah, he has rights to do so, he's a Tana, Yehuda Bar Nechemya was a young Amora who passed away quite early, I think. But Rabbi Tarfon was the Gadol Hador. If he disagreed with the Mishnah, he has a right to do so. It could be that Shtika Lavko Damia, for one of two reasons, either the way the Rashba approaches it or what we suggested, and then Chinami, Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. So the Heshavta Sazake means that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is the final authority. He codified the Mishnah, left out Rabbi Tarfon, and Yehuda Bar Nechemya successfully explained the Mishnah. Okay. Rabosrei, I move on to topic number two for today, and that is Chol HaMoed. Okay. Now I'm afraid to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many people here in this audience put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed at some point in their life? No, it's maybe from Chutzitz. You did, Alan. Okay, you're the only one bold enough to admit that you... Did you make a brach on it, by the way?
When? During Chol HaMoed?
Chol HaMoed.
No.
Oh, you put it on without a brach.
Yeah.
Okay. You should know the Rambam goes very far, and he says that you put on tefillin with a brach. Now, just as a matter of story, I like to tell stories. I was down in North Miami Beach on Pesach a few years ago, and in the Young Israel down there, there are two minhagim. I would say, I'm just guessing, I tried to look around, take my own little census there, 60% of the people in the audience were not wearing tefillin, 40% were. But get this, there's a takana in the shul that you could only daven for the omen on Chol HaMoed if you wear tefillin. Okay. Same thing in St. Louis? Takon. And you know, I was there as an Israeli, you know, in Chutzitz, and I was like burning mad, because here in Eretz Yisrael we don't know of such a minhag, you know. And to tell me that therefore I can't daven for the oven, I couldn't daven for the oven for other reasons, but that I can't daven for the oven because I don't wear tefillin, that was like a personal affront. But in any event, that's just a story. So I want to tell you a different story, and this is really a lavdishes story. A little background. Reb Chaim Brisker was brilliant in many ways, but one of his interesting facets of his brilliance was that in his analysis of a sugya, he could figure out how to do something in a way that would satisfy all opinions. Have you heard this before? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. He was a genius. He would stand on his head and come up with a way that, Kuliyama, you could cover every single sheet in the books. I'm not telling you that I recommend doing that, but Rav Chaim was capable of doing that. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, his Bechor, came over to him and said to him, Tati, I don't understand why you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Now, that question itself is a little bit of an audacity, because in the Brisker family, you don't ask those kind of questions. Even a son doesn't ask his own father those kind of questions. And the story, the plot grows even thicker, because before Reb Chaim got a chance to answer the question, that's what I heard from my Rebbe, he, Reb Moshe, offered an answer. I know Tati, why you don't wear tefillin in the Chol HaMoed, because of the Mesorah of Valojin. The Mesorah of Valojin, of course, goes back to the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon paskins in Birei Agro and Reb Chaim that we don't wear tefillin in the Chol HaMoed. Rav Moshe was still perplexed. Good. We have a tradition that goes back to the Vilna Gaon, the Yeshiva Valojin. You know, Rav Chaim himself is Rosh Yeshiva Valojin. He was married to Nitziv's granddaughter. So fine. So we don't do it. But Chach, wear it. Mitzad Safek. You know, you want to be Yotzei all the Shitas, Rav Chaim. That was your whole approach to Halach. The Rav Moshe says to make a bracha on Tefillin and Chol HaMoed. And you completely omit it. So Reb Chaim said, very terse, you know, the Briskers are very short-winded. Said Reb Chaim, I don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and it has nothing to do with the Gaon. Nothing to do with the Gaon. I'm asking, there's no tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and I'm not standing on the shoulders of the Gaon. So Reb Moshe asked him, what do you mean? He said, because I hold that Chol HaMoed is a Moed, and on Moed we don't wear tefillin. How is that different from the Gaon? So Rav Soloveitchik once gave a Yahrzeit shiur zillions of years ago for his father, and he said the following. The Gaon says in Shulchan Aruch, in Birei Agro, that the reason we don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed is because Chol HaMoed is chayav in all the mitzvahs of the moment. And the Gaon is mefarit. He says that on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, where do we eat? In the sukkah. And Chol HaMoed Pesach, what do we eat? Matzah. In fact, the Gaon himself held it as a kiyum of achilas matzah. But that's irrelevant to this discussion. Said the Gaon, because the mitzvahs of Yontif apply to the moed, therefore I don't wear tefillin. Reb Chaim rejected it. Why? Because the Gemara says in Masechta Menachos, why don't we wear tefillin on Yontif, on Shabbos and Yontif? Because the Torah calls Shabbos and Yontif an os, and tefillin is called an os. And there's no need, and it may even undermine the oath of Shabbos and Yontif to wear tefillin another oath. I have an oath. Shabbos and Yontif itself is an oath. Said Reb Chaim, the way the Rav interpreted it, that if you look in the pasuk of oath, Osi Beini Avinechem, the pasuk says, Kol Malach Lo Sasa. Oath means Iser Malach. Reb Chaim therefore said that although the Gaon is correct that the mitzvahs ha-moed apply even during Chol HaMoed, whether it's matzah on Chol HaMoed Pesach or sukkah on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, that's not enough to engender an os. Os is dependent upon Issur Melacha. And therefore, hence, the Ramah paskins that Chol HaMoed is not an os. Why is Chol HaMoed not an os? Because there's no Issur Melacha on Chol HaMoed. Now hold your horses here. We're going too far too fast. Is there no Issur Melacha Chol HaMoed? Well, truth be told, there's a machlokas rishonim from Hein Piz, the bitter golus, the ending of the bitter golus, about whether or not Chol HaMoed is awesome with the raisa b'melacha or not. Let's go slow. The Gemara Chagiga on Daf Yud Ches derives, there are two shitas in the Tanoim about the Issur Melacha Chol HaMoed. One shita is that Chol HaMoed is also Moloch because the Torah calls it Mikrei Kodesh. And the other Shita, I think it's Rav Yossi HaGlili, if we have time we'll go through it, says that the Issur Moloch Chol HaMoed is based on the fact that the Torah says Tishbos. And he has a ribui that Tishbos applies even on Chol HaMoed. But the Gemara says that the Chachamim were Matir Moloch on Chol HaMoed, at least in five different categories. So here we have a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban on the one hand, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam on the other. Rashi and the Ramban has a long introduction to Masechta HaMoed Katan. They established that Chol HaMoed is Asur B'Melacha Midoraisa. Darvas, the Chachamim, Masra Nakosa, the Chachamim were authorized to tell us when, in what situation we're Asur B'Melacha, when we're Mutter, and the Chachamim carved out five categories of Heter. On the other end of the spectrum, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam hold that the Issur Melacha and Chol HaMoed, even when it's Asur, is only Derabbanan. The whole business is Derabbanan. Said Reb Chaim, if that which knocks off tefillin is Os, then Bishlam makes sense according to Rashi and the Ramban. And by the way, when I say the Ramban, I mean all the Talmidim of the Ramban. You know, the Rashba and down to the Ritva and generations afterwards. And that's why the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch leaves out the filling in on Chol HaMoed. They all paskin that the Issur Melacha is d'oraisa on Chol HaMoed. It's Mimela, Chol HaMoed is called on Os. And if it's an Os, you don't wear tefillin. However, there are more paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, which is also the sheet of the Rambam in this case, that the Issur Melacha Chol HaMoed is only the Rambam, but the Raisa, there's no Issur Melacha. Is Mimela, it's not called a nose. You chayv in tefillin, and the Rambam even advocates making a bracha on the tefillin. Is Mimela said the Gaon? Said Reb Chaim, I'm not convinced by the Gaon. The Gaon's logic is that there is mitzvahs Pesach, matzah and mitzvah sukkah. Fine, that's wonderful, but that doesn't engender the chal shem os, and therefore we're back to square one. So why didn't Rav Chaim wear tefillin and Chol HaMoed? Not because of the Gaon. Said Rav Chaim, how do you define the entity called Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of the day? And Rav Chaim says there are four elements that make up the sanctity of the day. The first element is in Parshas Pinchas, namely the Karbon. the carbon itself engenders the Kedushas Hayom. Number two, there's Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor is the Mitzvah Hayom. Number three, there's Parshas Re'eh, and Parshas Re'eh is the Mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. Shalosh Pam Yerah calls Churcha. And that's the Kedushas HaRegel. And number four is the Isur Malacha, which is also in Parshas Emor and many other Parshas in the Torah. Said Reb Chaim, these four elements, when combined together into one entity, form Kedushas Hayom. And Reb Chaim said that here there's a fundamental difference between Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. Rosh Chodesh has only one out of the four elements of Kedushas Hayom. What does Rosh Chodesh have? Korban Parshas Pinchas. That's all. Ein Achinami, within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, Chol HaMoed is an entity, Rosh Chodesh is an entity of Kedushas Hayom min HaTorah that's engendered by the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. But beyond that, as soon as you leave the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, Rosh Chodesh is a secular day like any other day. It has no special mitzvahs, and it has no Aliyah L'Regel, and it has no Isur Malacha garnished. It's therefore, it doesn't have Kedushas Hayom. But said Reb Chaim, Chol HaMoed not only has its own karban, again, whether the karban changes from day to day or it's the same karban day after day, is the difference between Sukkot and Pesach, but Chol HaMoed has a karban in Parshas Pinchas. Every day of Chol HaMoed has its karban. Not only that, the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel of Parshas Re'eh is chal even on Chol HaMoed. Number three, as the Gaon already pointed out, the mitzvahs HaMiyuchadas L'Moed apply even on Chol HaMoed. All we're left with now is element number four, namely the Isur Malacha. Is there an Isur Malacha on Chol HaMoed? Said Reb Chaim, the answer is yes. Chol HaMoed is Osur B'Malacha. Haraya, the proof is that Rashi and the Ramban and all the Talmidim of the Ramban, up to the Shulchan Aruch and beyond, they all maintain that the Isur Malacha and Chol HaMoed is Doraisa. Said Reb Chaim, beautiful. Even Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam agree that Chol HaMoed is a full-fledged Moed with Kedushas Hayom that engenders an Isur Malacha. Just as the Torah was Matir Malacha, but the day itself is sanctified with the Kedushas Hayom that's identical to the Kedushas Hayom of Yom. In other words, what Reb Chaim I think is saying, if I could use my lingo, is that the Huta Mechlolo here is the Huta Mechlolo of Rabbi Tarfon, but not the Huta Mechlolo of Yehuda Bar Nechemya. Meaning, Rabbi Tarfon's logic, and now a second alternative, that the fact that the Isur of Chadash after the Omer was alleviated as far as Achilas Hedjot, that's a din in the Hedjot. The Torah was addressing the Gavra and saying, you're allowed to eat this Chadash, but the Cheftz is the same Cheftz, identical Isur. And therefore it should possible the Korban B'dieved even before the Omer and as well after the Omer. Same thing with regard to the Isur Malach on Chol HaMoed, where the Torah said that Ein Ochinami, you're allowed to do Malach on Chol HaMoed. The Torah was addressing you and you and me and every individual, allowing us to do Malach on Chol HaMoed. But if you identify the Cheftza Shal Yom, the Cheftza, the Yom in itself, has a Chalushay Moed, not just regard to Karban and Mitzvah Sayyom and Aliyah L'Regel, but even as far as Isur Malacha, the entity of Kedushas Hayom, you can touch it. Rav Chaim could have touched it, I don't know if we can. That entity itself is endowed with the same identical Kedushas Hayom, even as far as Isur Malacha is concerned. And therefore it's a full-fledged Os, and there's no tefillin on Chol HaMoed. These Rishonim hold that Isur Malacha is Durabbanon. What they mean to say is that the Torah was Matir Malacha, as far as you and I are concerned. But the entity, the Cheftza of the Yom, the Tzuvo Shel Yom, is identical. It has the same Kedusha that engenders an Isur Malacha. And if this be the case, yeah, go ahead, Alan.
But the Torah would not say that.
I'm saying the Rav didn't wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. That you can, I can promise. Oh, the Gra, no. The Gra is saying that whether or not you wear tefillin depends upon the mitzvayom. And Rav Chaim said it can't be. How can it depend upon the mitzvayom? Mitzvayom is not enough. You need os. Os is identified and expresses itself in Isur Malacha. Well, there are Rishonim who say there is no Isur Malacha Chol Hamoed as far as the Torah is concerned. So the Gaon made no sense as far as Rav Chaim was concerned. Rav Chaim can only endow this, can only justify not wearing tefillin on a Chol Hamoed by saying that Chol Hamoed is endowed with the Kedusha Sayom of Isur Malach of Os. Where's the Isur Malach? I don't see it. These Rishonim are telling me you're allowed to do Malacha, at least as far as the Torah is concerned. The issue is you may not see it, but it's there. If you only have eyes to perceive it. The Kedusha Sayom is a full-fledged Kedusha Sayom. And Rabosai, I want to just complete the shiur with the following question. There are two categories of individuals in halacha, Jewish people, I mean, who are exempt from mitzvah saseh shazman groma, namely, nashim and avodim. Good. Nashim is derived from tefillin and tefillin sukkah shel Torah, the whole sugya in kiddush. So a woman is exempt from mitzvah saseh shazman groma. An eved, we have a hekesh exer shava called lala. He also is part of mitzvah saseh shazman groma. Rabbeinu Tam says the following. If a woman volunteers to fulfill a mitzvah seishas man groma, she achieves a kiyum mitzvah. Even more than that, Rabbeinu Tam says she can make a bracha on it.
Vitzivan.
But an eved Kenani I'm talking about, an eved Kenani who opts voluntarily to perform a mitzvah seishas man groma, says Rabbeinu Tam, is garnished vert. It's meaningless. The question is, what's the difference between an Isha and an Eved? Why is it that an Isha is okay, maybe even in some cases, you have to be very careful about this, encouraged to fulfill a mitzvah seishas man groma, whether it's Sukkah or Lulav or Shofar, and she makes a bracha according to Rabbeinu Tam. And yet an Eved derives from an Isha, it's a brand new halacha, that an Eved is completely mufka, is excluded from a mitzvah seishas man groma. Why? What do you say, Jeremy?
No, it's
chesed. Okay, but how do you want to say it? What's the chefta here, Rabbi Osai? What's the chefta? What is the chefta here that I'm indicating? You know, before we spoke about the Kedusha Sayom, what are we talking about now? The Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael is expressed by 613 mitzvahs. Asher kidshonu v'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. Our sanctity as a unique nation is measured by the 613. There are other kedushas. There's a kedusha of a ben Noach. He has a kedusha of 7 mitzvahs. We have a kedusha of a ger toshav. Maybe he has other mitzvahs. And you go up and down the ladder. But the epitome, the perfect element here of the Kedushas Yisrael is the full gamut of 613. Yesh lachkar. A woman is alleviated from X number of mitzvahs. Whatever the number is, we'll call it 11, 13, whatever number it is, of mitzvah seishas man grom. Yesh lachkar. Does that mean A, that HaKedushas Yisrael is inferior to that of a man? Or does she have the identical Kedushas Yisrael of 613? Just the Torah alleviated her. That's what you meant by Gavra. It was a Ptur Gavra. But it's not Hutu Mechlolo. It doesn't mean that her Kedushas Yisrael is reduced to a lower level. And Rav Salvechik used to say the following: there's a fundamental difference between Isha and Eved. In the case of an Isha, she has the Kedushas Yisrael of 613 mitzvahs. As far as her sanctity is concerned, she's obligated just as you and I are in all 613. The Torah alleviated her and patted her up from fulfilling the mitzvah seishas man grom. But as far as Eved is concerned, Eved zman grom is the measure of his Kedushas Yisrael. His level of Kedushas Yisrael reaches a certain level, but not beyond. As far as beyond, meaning mitzvah seishas man groma, he's mufka from Kedushas Yisrael. He's like a guy who would fulfill a mitzvah seishas Yisrael. It's meaningless. because here in the case of Eved, the halacha of Ptur completely undermines and curtails his Kedushas Yisrael. And then if we go back to our totem pole, we have the Kedushas Ben Noach, then we have Kedushas Ger Tzedek, Ger Toshav, and then we have the Kedusha of an Eved Kanani, and then we finally have the Kedusha of Yisrael, all different levels of Kedusha. Okay, Rabos, again, thanks a lot for coming. I know it's right after Pesach. Shkoyach for coming. So Mincha is officially in 15 minutes. I don't know if...